recognize that before this verse, Peter tells them that suffering is a very real part of our walk with God. But we suffer for speaking for him. Then, immediately following this verse, in verse 16, it comes back to that great truth that suffering is a part of walking with God. And because we are identified with him, we often suffer and are insulted in his name. But in between verse 14 and verse 16, where the author Peter is making it very clear that we suffer for the name of Christ, we suffer because we speak for Christ, we suffer because we are identified with Christ, he stops and he says this, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." The writer, Peter, is noting that there's a source for suffering. That we need to acknowledge that not all suffering is because of our witness and testimony in Christ. It's Children's Church today, and they're going with her. If you want to go with her, you can. There you go. No, it's my fault, not yours. There's a source to suffering. First of all, we need to acknowledge that suffering from the effects of others' attitudes. In other words, this is just part of life. Not everybody is going to like you. This isn't whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. This is just flat out your personality. Have any of you found that not everybody in the world likes you? Raise your hand if you have someone in the world that doesn't like you. I have people that don't like me. I think they've got problems, but so do I. Now, that's one area of suffering, but there's another area of suffering that's very real. We sometimes suffer, and this isn't because people don't like us. We sometimes suffer because of our own wrong responses. In other words, sometimes you suffer because you messed up. And that isn't God's fault. Kevin, I left our accountability group on Friday. I drove down around the corner to take a picture of the sunrise over a windmill that's about a block south of Tarwater. So I turned the corner and I turned another corner and then I turned back on 46th Street. And a Shawnee County Sheriff car was right on my bumper. And I thought, what in the world did I do? And I'm thinking, oh no. No, just drive straight, just drive straight. And some of you know that's hard for me to do, to just drive straight. And so I'm driving along thinking, what did I do? Did I not use my turn signal? Did I text? Did I have my phone? What did I do? And right about then, and I'm like thinking, here I go, suffering for Jesus. I go down to an accountability group, and now I'm stopped at the side of the road. And I'm like, oh, brother. And the officer got out of the car. He says, put your hands on the dash. I was cooked. It was one of Taylor's friends. And he knew he had got me. I was still shaking even after he left. But sometimes we suffer because of our own wrong responses. And that is not suffering for the Lord. And yet in this passage, sometimes we do suffer for our identity in Christ. This middle verse in this section is to remind us to not needlessly suffer for wrong choices. But this middle verse is also here to tell us there is the potential we could. Just recently, I had a young lady ask me, she said, she came to me and she said, Pastor, I feel like I've done something wrong that I'm suffering for. And we talked about it. I've not overcome sin in my life. I'm speaking to you as your pastor. I'm 58 years old, and this last week there was a moment in my life when I realized I had done wrong. And I sat, and I was over in my office at the particular time. Not that that's the only place I ever do anything wrong, but I was in my office at this particular time when I became distinctly aware of sin that was in my life, of something that I had done that was wrong. And I stopped there in my office, and I worked through the process of confessing that sin before the Lord and admitting that to before God that what I had done was wrong. And the suffering that I was going through was there because of my own choices. But I did not have to make those choices. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. You don't have to murder someone. Let none of you suffer as a thief. You don't have to steal. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. You don't have to do wrong. Let none of you suffer as a meddler. You do not have to meddle in other people's business. But the Bible says if you look at a man with hatred, you've the same as murdered them. I've done that. Truth of the matter is, I've stolen things before. Truth of the matter is, I've done things that are wrong. Truth of the matter is, I have meddled in other people's businesses, even as a pastor. Does the blood of Christ cover that? Christ died on a cross between two thieves. The Bible specifically points out that they were thieves. He was put there by the Pharisees who murdered him. And as he was there on that cross, one of the criminals who was hanging next to him railed him. Are you the Christ? Save yourself! And meddled. Let none of us say when we sin, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Let none of us say that we are without sin. Or if you say you're without sin, you make God a liar. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. One of the reasons why we celebrate this that's called the Lord's table is so that we can stop and reset our lives from living the way we did to living the way we should. And we reset our lives not by self-initiative, but we reset our lives by looking at the cross to the one who is faithful and just. Friend, God is not going to forsake you because you sinned. Go to him. He is faithful. But God is not going to whitewash over your sin either, because he is just. And so we pause to come to this that signifies his death for our sins, his payment for our wrongs. We pause to say, Lord, is there anything between me and you right now that I need to confess and make right by accepting your atonement on the cross for me. The Bible says it this way: if anybody comes and drinks of this cup, if anybody comes and eats of this bread unworthily, in other words, if you just come to this and say, no big deal, and you don't examine yourself, you risk serious, serious consequences between you and the Lord. And so we come to this table where Christ makes full payment for all our wrongs. But before we come to it, we pause to say, what are the wrongs that he made payment for so that I can be right with him in this moment? Our elders are going to come and we're going to serve the Lord's table to you. But in the moments of quietness as they come, between you and the Lord, pause. Pause and reflect. Pause and confess. Pause and consider what the payment was made on your behalf. And not just idle, you know, everybody sinned. No, you, between you and the Lord. Perhaps even what you could say is, what is it that you have brought to my attention right at this moment, Lord, that I need to confess, to make right, to be ready? Pray with me. Let no one be a murderer. Let no one be a thief. Let no one be an evildoer. Let no one be a meddler. Father, I thank you that this week your Spirit convicted me. God, I pray that you would be pleased to continue to convict me. When I am wrong. Thank you that you offer forgiveness for that's confessed, and pardon abundant for all. I pray that each soul here today would be honest before you and find your grace able to meet their need. Because that's why Jesus died. In Jesus' name, amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and offered it to his disciples. It is our custom as a church family to celebrate the Lord's table together. And so we pass the elements and retain them and then partake of them together as a body for the Lord. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are welcomed by us to participate with us if you would so choose. And this that signifies that Christ died for our sin on a cross, made full payment, we acknowledge that payment and trust in him fully today.